Welcome back to Dr. Brass Talks. We are on 4341790. Remember, we run until 12:30 in the first instance. We take a break, we go to the latest, and then we come back, and we are with you until 2. We do hope that you'll stay with us. Our call numbers are still 4341790. I want to read a message to you. This is from Paula Ann Moore, who is a spokesperson of the Group of Concerned Parents of Barbados. She's been trying to reach us unsuccessfully, but Paula wants us to know that we, the students, Group of Concerned Parents of Barbados, salute the Minister of Education and her team for managing a vitally important and large ministry during an unprecedented COVID environment with significant complexity. We're concerned about the constant teacher bashing regarding the reopening of schools. And while we are aware that the in-person school is an ideal apprehension relating to its recommencement, it is understandable and more communication on the essential points is fundamental. For example, how many teachers have been vaccinated? What is the plan for teacher vaccination before school starts? How will the potential exposure of students in public transportation be mitigated? Will there be random rapid tests administered in schools? If children and or teachers opt to remain at home, will they be accommodated? Teachers have already had their professionalism and integrity assaulted by the Caribbean Examination Council and media due to a false narrative relating to the CXC-SBA grading in the 2020 exams. It's not unresolved for 6 months later, a great demoralizing and demotivating cost to students and teachers. This continued teacher bashing does a disservice to the profession in whom we entrust our future, our children, and our future. Let us be respectful of the views of all stakeholders and work together to achieve reasonable and realistic solutions. Thank you, Paula Ann Moore. This is on behalf of the spokesperson of the Group of Concerned Parents of Barbados. If you're unable to reach us, not to worry. I think that the statement that you've just made says it all. This is Dr. Brass Talks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
Waited to be affected by the results of COVID tests, but I didn't want the month of April.
We haven't some challenges hearing you, ma'am. We haven't some challenges hearing you clearly.
You know, around that gotta be a problem for Floor A, but I didn't want the
okay, it's better.
Able to go down without hiding this fact. I am the parent of a child who is a wheelchair user. And I would have received a call asking if I was deserved of him.
All right, ma'am, we're not going to be able to continue with the call because the quality isn't good enough for us to hear you. You have made a point that the month of the disabled is upon us, and you think it's important during the month of the disabled for us to raise awareness regarding persons with disabilities. And I certainly would want to support you very much in that regard. Hopefully, we can get a more clear line and you can raise a specific concern regarding persons with disability. But yes, during this month, we would want to highlight concerns relating to persons with disabilities. Thank you so much for calling. I just want to put a note out. We had a concern of a gentleman who was raising a water with respect to a water outage in one of the constituency of Kerry Simmons, which I believe is St. Michael, St. James Central. If he could make contact with us, either John or myself, and let us know the specifics. Because we have a person on the line who is empowered to deal with the situation and would want to make contact with you. So if you could re-establish contact with us and just leave some kind of contact information, we would appreciate that very much. I have a person on the line who is prepared to investigate the matter for you more fully. Down to Brass Talks, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing? Good to hear you.
Good, you know. The good thing is that Vendelin speak about politics concerning Sanchez, you because of just here waiting on him.
You said you can't talk about politics for what reason?
No, I said good thing Vendelin speak about politics and Sanchez this morning because I was just here waiting on him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you carry on. You put in your 2 cents.
No, but look, escalator. Peter? No person really don't go in public gallery anymore. I went in public gallery the last time was about 10 years ago, and it was just me, 2 more persons, and the police officer who protect the gallery, who on TV.
More police than public.
Yeah. So, you know, government can't be asked to money taxpayers, might be asked later to go in public gallery and parliament. Mm. It's a waste of time. Now, I really call you speaker.
You know the part that I like about watching debate, I like to watch parliamentary debates with a group of similarly minded people who are politicals. Because we can cuss who we want, we can say, we can express views and opinions on who's saying what. You can't do that when you're in parliament. You're in parliament, you got to sit and listen quietly. But if you're alone, if you're in a group, you know, you can talk your politics in between the contributions. And that's really, to me, the beauty of it. So I'm with you on that, sir.
You can only speak when you get the sessions come to a break, like lunch or tea, or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you get out of parliament. But you're always in there like a straight jacket. You can't even move too hard furthermore.
Yeah.
Now,
you know, before you move on to that one, the nicest things though about being invited to parliament by one of the parliamentarians is that you get food. You know about that?
Yeah, man, go to that show in the canteen.
Precisely. The parliamentary lunch. I had it once and I was very, very impressed. Well,
I actually
had it twice. The first time I sat down in there and ate it. Mm-hmm. And then the second time it was a takeaway situation because my relationship with the powers that be were not the best. So I did the takeaway option. So that's the good part. The food is the good part. The dining room downstairs anyhow, so you ain't gotta worry about climbing the steps to go to the dining room.
Exactly.
Anyhow, sorry to take out your time, sir. Go ahead.
Let me get my main point though, Peter. You know, yes, there was a very interesting day in this country. Because they had a situation on full at the project bakeries yesterday, Peter, where you had a situation where the workers walk off the job. And you know, Peter, funny enough, the majority of workers who walk off that job was unionized members of the Barbados Workers Union.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one guy, I don't think I was speaking out of turn, but apparently he is now a member of another union. So it comes to a point where the other workers who are represented by the workers only went back to work. And now this guy, now he is out in the cold. So I went to see how this situation now going to unfold. Sorry, again, distract me something here. Because I always tell people, I know a situation like this was going to happen rather sooner than later. Because I was watching this thing for a little while now, where you have a union leader, who, I mean, that's my personal belief. It come across to me as though this particular individual is looking for industrial confrontation in this country. And he's going all out hell-bent on trying to create strife. That's my personal opinion.
Mm.
But, you know, I told a friend yesterday while I was speaking on the same matter that I know they always run until night catch it. you're laughing, but I'm very serious. Because, Peter, look, I hope now this situation at Prodi Bakery yesterday would ring a bell in the other workers of these various organizations' mind so that they would understand that you just can't jump and join a union, especially when that union do not have the majority of the workers of the particular establishment. Because when you do walk off a job, Peter, and that particular union that you belong to do not have the majority of workers, the company do not have to negotiate with the member, with the leader of that particular union. I know that as well as anybody who had any sort of relationships with the union. No, I was a delegate in my workplace one time while I was being employed. So I hope the other people know who think about joining these unions would understand that when you join the union, you're joining this union at your own peril. I hope they understand that. And I find it doubly strange. I get a deafening silence now from the leader of that particular union. I hear him. All the mouth that he had concerning the who wrong and who right and everything else over the last couple of months, he's very, very quiet now after what transpired yesterday. And I wonder if I can hear him very soon because I'm listening to hear his response to what took place yesterday, Peter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have anything to say.
No, I don't know. I mean, I suspect that the leader will speak in due course, because the leader has not been afraid to speak or has not been shy to speak.
I mean, he's always very quick to speak, though, and he always tells mm-hmm. who right from who wrong. He mm-hmm. always knows who right from who wrong. Mm-hmm. I wonder who was wrong or who was right in this particular situation, because mm-hmm. I know, as I said before, pity you just can't come and throw your weight about like this, believing that you're above the law and you've got more. I mean, I don't want to use the word, so I'll pull back that word. But you just can't behave like that. The manner that I see this particular representative or leader behaving over the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. And if you're a self-appointed leader, Peter, of a union that have no executive or no other members who could carry on the legacy of that union, if, God forbid, anything wrong with you, Peter, I mm-hmm. always say, and I will continue to say, you're joining the union at your own peril.
Mm-hmm.
Because I ain't seen a succession plan in this particular union, all the talk that you're hearing all the time from this particular leader. And they're saying that
but I don't, they have other members?
Well, I don't know. I don't even know where they're located. And you know, Peter, it's most interesting.
The office in the house, but that's what he said, the office
exactly.
in the house.
So I don't know that.
That's what I was going to mention to you now. I want to know mm-hmm. where this unit is situated. And I hope that this unit is not situated in a development that has a conveyance where no business should be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
I only hope that is the case. Mm-hmm. Because the leader always knows who's breaking the law, to use his words. You're breaking the law, you're breaking the law. So I want to know where this unit is situated. Where you can find the union, where the headquarters of the union, Peter.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So I thank you, Peter.
Right, that's good. That's good. That's good. Good observations. I try not to cross swords with that individual, because he is a very acid tongue. He may start from me just now. So, but yeah, I share your concerns. You know, the bishop said to me some years ago, the peculiar thing about a lot of these evangelical churches is that they have a lot of members, but it is a very leader-centric kind of institution. So when the leader is unavailable for any reason, the organization falls flat. Thankfully, we have unions in Barbados that have stood test of time and that have replicated leaders over and over again, and that have become institutions. The likelihood that, well, you have to ask yourself whether that union will become an institution. I don't know. Maybe. Donna Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm okay. As I was saying before, I didn't want the month of the disabled curtain to be pulled down with this matter that is weighing heavily on my mind to go unheard. You know, the disabled would have receive their vaccines for the COVID. There was a mobile team that was coming out to the persons who are immobile. I have a son who's a wheelchair user. I would have received a call asking if I wanted him to be vaccinated. They said yes. I got a call telling me, well, they're going to come Monday. I said, okay. So the doctor then called, and she called to me to say, well, she's in receipt of his name or whatever. And she would call back to say exactly when they would come to give the person the vaccine. Well, I was told, like everybody else, that all the vaccine's gone and nobody had come to vaccinate him yet. But what I'm trying to say, we would have had persons in this country who could talk, who could tell you, well, I have a headache. Are you smelling? Are you tasting? And you are talking about, you are here for the vulnerable. He cannot speak, so he can't tell me if he got a headache, if he is smelling, if he is tasting, nothing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the same way the phone call came to say, well, he's on the list to be vaccinated. Another one can come to say, well, sorry, they run out, they didn't get here, something or the other. And you know the hurtful part about this? He is soon to be 30. And I feel as though I am pulling the central bank on my back as it relates to his existence in the island. All the talk, there is no representation for the disabled. We got a couple of faces who sadly have said, look out for themselves. But if you and the body that out there in a group or whatever, you fall through the crack. I call Brass up, no, because I am adamant that when the next batch come, he gonna get one. And I don't think he should go complain to nobody or nothing. If he's disabled, they said they're doing the people that disabled, he should have gotten it. But what about the person now who is out there, who is as bold as me to call and say, well, I have some person here. No, he don't walk boat. Who in the house? Yes, we have to live our lifestyle, not to bring anything and give him. But he already had disadvantage. So, I mean, I just want the powers that be to follow through on things. Because if the person that was charged with following through did the job that they were supposed to do, I would not be calling you now because he would have received that vaccine. I would like to know the status on it. With the next step, what else can I do? I think the only person who will give me that is David Clark or Ms. Ferdinand. But I think they need to come and say, what is the status as it relates to the persons who are disabled, who the mobile team has to go to? That's all I'm asking.
All right, ma'am, I'm not cutting you off, but we're going to go now to the latest news. When we return, I'll give a response to what you've said, because I think you've made some very extremely important points. So thanks a lot for calling, ma'am, and we're going to try to follow up on the points that you have raised. We take a break now for the latest news, where we come back to you in about 10 minutes with more of Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks, or welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we're with you until 2 p.m. You can call us on 434-1790. You can email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com, or alternatively, you can use the chat, 266-IVOB. As you mentioned in the chat, one person is saying to me, Peter, my father is 94 years of age. He was registered on the 18th of February. Up till now, he has not heard anything or see a fellow talking about vaccine. But I can hear the gentleman from the Defense Force talking pretty on the station the other day. I'm not sure who he's trying to fool. This goes back to the caller that we had just now, who was speaking about someone who is severely disabled. And I don't want to be uncharitable and say that, you know, the major is being trying to fool someone. I don't think it is about that type of situation. But look, I think we have to appreciate that this situation is a complex one. Comparatively speaking, Barbados is doing far better regarding the distribution of vaccines than many larger, wealthier countries. So let's accept that there are problems, but we are making progress. One of the issues that we have in Barbados is that we have defined frontline in a very broad manner, as opposed to several countries that have defined frontline in terms of medical frontline alone. Of course, this creates problems in terms of vaccine shortages when you're looking at the broad number of people. I get you, sir. I feel you. I have a relative who is 95 years of age, my aunt, who was also registered a long time ago, who received a call that they were doing a visit to vaccinate and nothing has happened and we have not heard anything further. Now, you could replicate that story over and over again because there are many people in Barbados in our current situation. And this lady just now was speaking about the situation with persons who are severely disabled, who are unable to speak on their own behalf and sadly have been ignored along the process. And I want to say a couple of things, two things really, with respect to her and respect to the disabled community. You know, for years, I have been arguing that the disabled community tends to be ignored largely because the disabled community does not make a spectacle of themselves. I think it is unfortunate that in a society like ours, one has to make a spectacle of oneself in order to get attention. We were talking about the Marsha Hines issue earlier today. So I think that the comparison is fairly clear. Over the years, the disabled has been very quiet and dignified in terms of bringing their issues to the fore. It has taken us over, what, how many years now of public transportation? We had public transportation in Barbados. And it is only in 2020, that Barbados actually received buses that were disabled friendly. So it is only now that we have a fleet of buses where a person who is disabled can go to a bus stop and actually get on it and travel. And that, to me, is a reflection of the fact that we dropped the ball as a society for many, many, many years regarding the disabled. So the vaccine issue is part of that, ma'am. And I think that as a broad program of advocacy, certainly the disabled community needs to be more activist. And they need to shout louder, they need to holler harder, they need to hire advocates like the same Marsha Hines-Lane to lobby on their behalf. They need to call the call-in programs that you're doing, because if they don't do that, sadly, many people will forget. There is a lady, someone has just messaged me and told me that the National Council for the Disabled's number is 629-0570. Give them a call and see whether they're in a position to do anything in terms of lobbying on your behalf. That's 629-0570. But really, priorities. We need to be clear in terms of the priorities, and we need to adhere to rules and regulations. And, you know, Barbados is a place where a lot of things you can make a phone call and get things happening. And I think that a lot of that has been going on, and unfortunately, it has been taken away from a lot of the legitimate people who were listed and waiting in line, you know, politely, not forcing themselves, and unfortunately, have not been included as time passes. I'm confident that we will all get the necessary vaccines. The question is when. Time is really of the essence here. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Hi. Yes, sir.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm glad you made that last statement that some people can make calls. I just want to say I can put my name out there, and I'm speaking.
You made a call?
I can put my name out there. My name is Rodney, and I'm speaking directly to, not a call, a confrontation to Patrick. That's why I introduced myself. Because we just get misled sometimes by misinformation. And when he come, I want to bombard that teachers don't want to return to school. Sometimes I don't really like to hear these people talk because they don't really put facts or look at the situation. You want the teachers to return to school, fine. Teachers want to return to school. It's not that saying teachers don't want to, but they come and say blatantly, teachers don't want to return to school, making it seem like teachers are the enemy. He said that, vaccinations. If the MOE wanted teachers to return to school, you wouldn't wait till the last minute to get your teachers vaccinated. Them should be incorporated in the first sets, which we know that they're incorporated vaccines. And then there's just some for disabled, and then some organizations and some corporations got their staff vaccinated that were closed. So it has been here and there with where you're really wanting to see where you want to go. If you want the teachers to return to school, you would have made sure that they get the first vaccination and the second. And to say that teachers don't want to go, teachers still got to think about their safety. My children, and why put my name with it as a teacher, my children have been in a bubble since December. So for me now as a parent to allow my child to go to school and contract the virus is a if. There's a 50-50 chance, don't get me wrong. And then, you understand? And I have been keeping them safe through all that time. My wife is a teacher. She has not gone to the supermarket for months. Now, I am the one that do the shopping. Because we're keeping her safe. We're keeping our family safe. So to say she goes back into school now, yes, willing to go and teach and stuff. And then she contracts COVID. All I'm going to get is an apology and stuff. So you need to really make sure that everything is there secure. Yes, we need schools opening, but we needed that in the safety of both children and teachers. Mm-hmm. We don't know how much children, the number of children have that have contracted COVID. There are no numbers out there. All we see is men and women, which I know that children have contracted COVID and have been up there at Harrison Point. But there are no numbers to tell you where in the hot spots. There are no numbers giving out the children.
So hold on a second, because I don't know that you need to get into that data as to who is a child and who, whether or not. That's irrelevant. You have a solid point that I think that you have a duty and an obligation to protect your family. I think you've done well, and you follow the instructions in terms of keeping your family out of harm's way. And I think you have good reason to be concerned, because yes, if your wife goes out on the front line and she teaches, she could contract COVID from a child who is exposed. That child could not get sick. The child could be asymptomatic, and your wife, unfortunately, because of the age group that she's in, may be more likely to get ill. So your concerns are reasonable. What I would ask you is, what do you see as the best case scenario in terms of your wife returning to school that you would be happiest with?